Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. Meatloaf Monday. Meatloaf Monday all day long because it's all about food around here. Hit me some Meatloaf Monday.
I think I'll try the meatloaf sandwich.
Do you know what that is?
Yes, meatloaf.
What is it? I'm only asking in case I have to describe it later to a doctor.
Look, it's nutritious. It's delicious.
Made out of meat. Add ketchup if you want. I couldn't care less.
That's my favorite part is the guy saying, I'm just asking in case I have to tell a doctor. That's all right. Hey, it's a Meatloaf Monday, and we're glad you're with us. It's been a heck of a weekend, and JP's on the board. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good, but I don't like the fall allergies starting to kick in for me. You know, I get a lot of sore throats, you know, when I wake up in the morning during this time. And
I just gave you one of those electric fisherman friends things.
It helped a lot. That's a strong little cough drop there.
Those things were legit, aren't they?
Yep.
Like you can feel the menthol for like 3 days after you have one of those. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty of show laid on for you. I'm pretty stoked about it. Coming up at 3 o'clock, some of y'all may remember a massive lawsuit. They got all the way from little bitty Bremerton School District to the Supreme Court of the United States about a football coach who dared to pray on the football field, just quietly, by himself, kneeling down and praying on government property. Say it ain't so. Well, he lost his job, and eventually he won his case. And it has been a game changer for religious freedom around the nation. Well, that's Coach Joe Kennedy, and he's going to be on the show today at 3 o'clock. I'm pretty excited to have him on. So stand by for that. It should be a great conversation about fighting back, which, by the way, is the first dipper. So hit me some triple dipper, bud.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, in conjunction with our conversation with Coach Joe Kennedy, fighting back. So, yes, I've got a series of stories about people who are like, that's enough of that. I am not standing for it any longer. I am going to fight back. And what their businesses or what their individual selves are saying, we're going to talk about all of that. And it's the mood we need to be in, by the way. The left has proven time and again that we had better fight back. So that's number one, triple dipper, fighting back. Number two, look, you know what I got to talk about, right? You know I do. The rally. And oh, by the way, we're just going to call it the rally. It's like, you know, like earlier in this season, we had the debate. It was just the debate. Everybody knows what we're going to talk about. It was the debate. Well, this one is the rally. Last night was an epic moment in Madison Square Garden. And the left is having a complete and utter come apart, like beside themselves. I don't think I've ever seen this much dark rhetoric and fear-mongering as they try to claim this was something other than what it is. But anyway, we're going to talk about it. The rally, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, didn't get to it on Friday, so we're getting to it today, Transmania. Yes, it is. It is Transmania. It's a mental illness. And we're going to talk about some things that have happened and some very disturbing things that we've discovered about the transgender agenda on kids. Look, y'all, I get it. If a grown-up makes an adult decision, I can't stop them from doing that. But a child? There's no way in the world that the things that are happening to children in the name of the transgender agenda should ever be allowed. And, oh, by the way, they're the kind of things that can have a country judged, if you know what I'm saying. Transmania, number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue, the Right Side Way, and I'll just start off by saying, I don't know if you saw it last night, but the sold-out Trump rally at Madison Square Garden was an epic event. Yes, it was. Charlene and I were wishing we had been there. Over 25,000 people packed America's arena with another estimated 70,000 outside in the overflow. The speaker's gallery was just unreal with, you know, Tucker Carlson, Dr. Phil, Hulk Hogan, Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk, and many more. I mean, what a night. And, of course, Donald Trump came out after being introduced by First Lady Melania. And as they came out, singer-songwriter Lee Greenwood stood on stage and sang his song, Proud to Be an American. I mean, holy cow. Proud to be American. By the way, everybody knows the chorus, right? And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd proudly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. That song is going to transcend his lifetime, I'm sure. The whole song really is amazing. An amazing song for an amazing night. But about that song, let's talk about it. Proud to be an American. You see, the chorus, it resonates. I love it when crowds sing it together, but there's a part of that song that I think most people blow right by. It's a part that actually has pretty huge meaning. It's the opening words sung very low and slow. You remember them? If tomorrow all the things are gone I worked for all my life and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. That's a sobering line. I mean, what if everything you knew, trusted, believed, owned, worked for was all gone? What would you do? What if everything you knew and loved had been stripped away? What if everything you believed in was turned on its head? What if everything you ever fought for, stood for, or worked for was just gone? I mean, what would you do? Could you stand up? Could you sustain? Or would you fold? Would you collapse? Would you fall apart? Proverbs 24:10 in the Message translation, that's a Message paraphrase translation, says this. He says, quote, if you fall apart in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Well, there's a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot to be concerned about. And if, like Charlene and I, you've always stood on conservative principles, then you've got even more to be concerned about. Work to advance those principles. And you're seeing things happening right now that make you wonder. And you're watching these principles that you believe in, these things, not just debated, but even trashed in the public square. And I believe this election is not just about restoring America. I believe it's also about preserving it. You see, the left despises the fact that you have rights. The left demands that you bend your knee at their whims and agendas and kowtow to their rhetoric. The left cannot abide by the fact that you might have a mind of your own, an actual thought in your head, and that those thoughts might actually be protected by your constitutional rights. You see, Democrats, they don't want you to have rights. They would prefer that you think of things like due process and speech and freedom of assembly and freedom of worship as mere privileges. Democrats would prefer you consider your rights to be afforded to you by the largesse of your government. Democrats don't want you to have rights. They want you to view them as mere privileges, mere opportunities, and an a la carte selection of neat ideas from which they can occasionally dole out to you a special moment. You see, Democrats don't want you to have rights because rights are immutable. But if they can get you to view them as mere privileges, they know then they can take them away. But if anything, though, I would say that last night's capstone event for the Trump campaign at Madison Square Garden, it was proof that there are more of us than there are of them. Let me remind you, you are not alone, and that's important. And you have rights, rights which are bigger than you and yet yours for the taking. And if everything was stripped away, you would still have your rights to pursue the clawing back of whatever you lost. But you have to frame it in your mind correctly. Don't fall for the lie that your rights are anything less than that. Don't let them tell you that you don't matter, that your words don't matter, that your views don't matter. So I once had a survival instructor at Fort Bragg. He was instructing us right before we deployed on how to escape and evade, how to plot our emergency exfil using search and rescue techniques, what to do if we were captured. But then one of the instructors said something that stuck with me more than any of it. He said this. He said, quote, if you haven't already, you better find something bigger than yourself to hold on to, because if you're captured and they strip everything away, you got to have something bigger than you to believe in. Those are true words. In the infamous North Vietnamese prison called the Hanoi Hilton, American servicemen, they were held there for years, often abused and tortured, sometimes left in solitary confinement without contact for years. And several Alabamians there, Alabamian Colonel Leo Thorsness was held there for 3 years. Alabama Senator Jeremiah Denton was held captive there for 8 years. Books have been written about the traits and circumstances that caused some of them to survive that hellhole, but others did not. And one of the keys to maintaining their stability when everything that they knew and loved was stripped away was finding out that they were not alone. One of the highest-ranking U.S. service members held in the Hanoi Hilton for 7 long years was Admiral James Stockdale, for which this thing called the Stockdale Paradox was named. Admiral Stockdale, he coined what he termed pragmatic optimism. That's where you see the facts clearly, you face them head on, but you also hold on to those beliefs, those principles, those values, those faith moments as your means of getting through them. Stockdale actually explained the concept one day in a speech. He said, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end which you can never afford to lose, he said, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever it might be. Let me explain it this way. What he was saying was keep the faith, know what you believe, but work with what you got. Another example of this, by the way, comes from Scripture in 1 Chronicles 12:32. Israel had many warriors. But how many times, though, did we see the description of battles with the Philistines and other nations that the army of Israel would just simply melt away? In 1 Chronicles, we read about a special group, though, King David's mighty men. I've talked about them before. It's like his special forces, if you will. And in 1 Chronicles 12:32, there was one select group that was called the Sons of Issachar. They were described as men who understood the times and what Israel should do. I mean, they were warriors. Nobody folded. Nobody set unrealistic expectations. Nobody cut off friends and family. Nobody abandoned their principles. But these men, these Sons of Issachar, they recognized their circumstances. They set about to do whatever was necessary within their circumstances. And that's where we are today, my friends. That's why I'm talking about think it through. What would you do if you had everything stripped away? Have you embedded in your mind that you've got actual rights? Are you fully prepared for the idea that you're actually not alone? See, the hand we've been dealt with the last few years has been rough. I mean, Biden, Harris, and liberal progressives in the House and Senate, they've been wreaking havoc with everything that we've had, and now Harris-Waltz wants to do even more. You've had Antifa, BLM rioting with impunity. You've had COVID restrictions. You've had 40-year high inflation. You've had January 6 protesters jailed with little due process. You've had transgender ideologies being forced on kids, all of it and more. A constant barrage against the actual sensibilities of hardworking Americans. People, by the way, who have the rights to say no to the madness, but are told that to say no somehow equates them with Hitler and fascism and racism and misogyny, and as if all the conservatives are donning white hoods to burn crosses in people's front yards. But I go back to what I started out with. The question is not whether or not hard times come. The question is what you do with them. If tomorrow all the things were gone you'd worked for all your life, what would you do? Liberal progressives, they don't want you to think that way. They want to afford you a little bit of comfort so that you won't remember that you actually own this place, that you have actual rights. In the end, when history looks back on us, will they say that like too many of the Israelite armies in the Old Testament that we just melted away? That we cowered down? Or will they say, like the Sons of Issachar, that we were the people that recognized our times and what we had to do? So here's the bottom line. You got to grab hold of those principles, that faith, those values, your rights, those things that are bigger than you, those who you surround yourself with, those things worth fighting for, and you teach them to your kids, and you encourage your neighbors, and you stand up at community meetings, and you point out when wrong is called right and right is called wrong. You don't set unrealistic expectations, but you do keep working. And you remember that you have rights, actual rights. And then you go to the polls and you vote. And you put on that full armor, and like Ephesians 6:13 says, and when you have done everything, stand. Yeah, you can do this, folks. I'm telling you. And I believe better days are coming. And oh, by the way, you're not alone. There's more of us than there are them. Bunch of right side ruffians. Y'all get her done. That's a wrap. For the right side way. Yeah, I mean that when I say it. That line to me is probably one of the most important lines in the entire song. If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, could you? Do you know what you stand for? Do you know? If you don't, start laying the groundwork for knowing, because it may come a day you got to have something bigger than you to hang on to. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just golly bum. I'm talking about pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So I got several text messages already. Text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Hey, first of all, before I go any further, I got to give a shout out. So I had some more kind of a full weekend. It was a good weekend. It was a full weekend, but it was a good weekend. Y'all know already, because I was here Friday, that I got to spend time with the Youth Leadership Conference in Huntsville Friday morning, being hosted by the Military Order of the World Wars. That was a great time with probably over 80, I would say, high school kids that were there. I loved it. And then, yeah, Saturday. Wow, Saturday was cool. So shout out to the members of the AACA, the Antique Automobile Club of America, Huntsville branch, who hosted the Southeastern Nationals at the Orion Amphitheater. Oh, man, the cars were out there. Holy cow, the cars were out there. Oh, my gosh, the car. I'm a car guy, and I was in car heaven. And so I posted several pictures, just a few, really, on my Twitter feed, but then got a chance to be with them that night. They had their awards dinner that I spoke at the Space and Rocket Center, which, you know, I walked in, and there I am. I'm standing under a Saturn V rocket speaking to hundreds of people. And I said, we got cars, we got barbecue, and we got rockets. Welcome to a giant slice of America here in Alabama. So it was a great time, and I appreciate them having me out. Really, really enjoyed it. And I really, really have the car bug again.
They told you would.
He did, and I knew I would, and it's true. And I just do. And I'll tell you what else, too, JP. So ran into a guy. So my dream car... Just saying, I'm totally chasing a rabbit here. I know it, but my dream car is a '70 Mustang Mach 1. I don't know if you can picture that in your mind. Just bear with me as when I tell you it's the coolest car that ever roamed the streets. It just is. It's a muscle car from the heyday, a '70 Mustang Mach 1.
Oh yeah, I see it.
All right, so there was one out there, and it was beautiful, fully restored. I went up and had a chance to talk to the guy. Turns out the guy, I graduated Grissom High School 83. He graduated Grissom 81. We sort of knew some of the same people. You know, we're talking about people we know. Then it turns out he bought that Mustang from a guy that I went to school with. That thing used to park in my high school parking lot.
Wow, that's crazy.
Just okay.
It's a small world.
Holy cow, it was good. All right, text messages. Brian from Huntsville says, with regards to the monologue, says, if I lost everything, I'd go to the Bible, prayer, and church for solace. It would not be the first time I prayed, Jesus be the guardian of my soul. Yes, sir. And you would not be wrong in handling it that way, my brother. I got several more text messages. Y'all text it or call it 833-68-RIGHT. We'll do that and then jump on into the Dippers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I do mean it when I say it. Don't argue with me. I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measures. Text lines are indeed open. Let me get a few of those. Jeff from Holly Pond sends me a picture of, yes, it is, sir. Yes, it is. He said, Phil, this is a cool car. I think I'm looking at a late model Trans Am, I believe. Yeah, that's good looking, dude. Very much so. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, look up a 61 Ford Starliner. That's my dream car. That is a dream car. That's a sweet ride, man. 61 Starliner. They didn't make but like 29,000 of those. And it reminds me a lot of the Galaxy, but maybe it was meant to be a spinoff the Galaxy. I don't recall, but it's a beautiful car. I'm a blue oval guy, so I like Fords anyway. John from Huntsville. John, I don't know what the heck, but your text keeps breaking up. He says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, just want to say I was a little disappointed in JP's off-the-bench performance. Okay. When, and then he cuts off.
I think I know what he's talking about. And I'll give you a little bit of inside baseball in radio. There's hard timeouts, and when you're not actually in that studio, it's hard to know when those are coming up. And I think he got upset when I was reading one of his texts that he sent in, and I got cut off by the commercial.
Well, now, John, you can't be that sensitive, brother. I mean, man's got to have a shameless plug for the commercials who support the show. So yeah. What do we do? Hey, by the way, how did it go having Wesley Britt for your picker?
It went good. I actually had a good weekend of picks, and me and Wesley tied with 8 picks correct this past weekend.
Oh, nice. So, have you let him know that he did well?
I have not yet, but I was pretty pleased that I had a good bounce back after a couple of rough weeks.
You got a short interview with him too, right?
Mm-hmm. It went good. He provided a lot of insight from it's nice to get a former Bama player's perspective because, you know, Alabama's getting all of this – you know, shade, and DeBoer's getting a lot of criticism. It's good to hear from, you know, somebody who actually played at the program and his thoughts on the transition. So it was good insight.
Was there any like one story that stood out, like a good anecdotal
story? Oh, he talked about how this new age of college football, the kids being soft and more sensitive, and you can't really coach them hard because they'll want to leave. He said how his O-lineman coach at Alabama used to grab him by the face mask, and you could smell the Copenhagen in his mouth when he was chewing him out. He said, like, you can't do that. Can't do that anymore. No, though.
Every generation believes that they had it harder, and usually they're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like me, it's the old joke with Ranger School is you ask somebody, when did you go to Ranger School? And the answer is, back when it was hard. Ronnie from Danville says, Phil, I got the answer for the climate change people. Okay. He said, I'll loan them a pick sack so they can pick the cotton so the farmers won't burn diesel fuel and pollute. Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie. That's an interesting text. I'm not sure where that came from, but thank you very much. Missy from Fayetteville, regarding the monologue, says, yes, Brother Phil, beautiful monologue. I believe one of the reasons that they are bringing all the people in this country is because they never have known freedom the way American people have. Therefore, they are controllable. Wow. Missy, that's insightful. I had not thought about that, but you are so correct. And then Brian from Huntsville, John gets a D- today on his texting skills. All right, let me jump on in here. First Dipper is called Fighting Back. So I'm going to talk about the Trump rally in more detail later. So if you got comments on the Trump rally, hold those. Wait till we get into number two of the Triple Dipper after that interview with Coach Kennedy. But I will say this. There was a surprise guest among several yesterday at the Trump rally, Dr. Phil, believe it or not. So Dr. Phil was there. I don't know that he's ever endorsed before, although something about the way he phrases things sometimes, it's led me to believe he probably is a conservative. But Dr. Phil was on stage just imploring supporters of Donald Trump to stand up to bullying and protect others. And his speech was, I mean, he's Dr. Phil, so he's going to come at it from the got to take care of each other and how do we do these things. But he said, these are his comments. He said, quote, Trump's got a lot of enemies. They've impeached him, indicted him, raided him, railroaded him, shot him, and sued him. And where is he? He's still standing. This is from Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday afternoon. But then he went on to say, he said that the reason he came to speak at the rally was to tell Trump supporters that they have got to stand up for the people who have declared their support for Donald Trump or got found out about it, and they're being intimidated by others. And he points out that what we're seeing from the left right now is some extreme bullying, and it's true. All this stuff about, you know, the rally being just another Nazi rally, and basically anybody who dares to support Donald Trump is now a Nazi or a racist or what, and that, my friends, is the epitome of bullying. It's exactly what the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radicals advocated. You find them, you fix them, and then you polarize them, and that's what they're trying to do. But it's an epic level of bullying. And that's why in my monologue, I talked about the fact that you've got rights and you've got each other. And I'm just telling you, when you realize you're not alone, it makes a huge difference. Turn to somebody who's like, I'm not putting the Trump sign in my yard, but I am going to vote. You tell them, I'll put the Trump sign in my yard if you will. Do it. Just do it. Just show the world. By God, I could care less what y'all think. You know why? I have rights. And oh, by the way, I got people. So, yes, fighting back is a big part of what we have got to do more of. Some of that just involves standing up. Some of that is just about, you know, saying enough's enough. Some of that is like saying, hey, I'm there for you. But we're seeing this stuff happening. I got a piece from the National Review. Do you remember? Okay, so, well, how could you forget? Trump went to McDonald's, right? Trump went to McDonald's. And immediately McDonald's started taking heat. Go figure. Now, McDonald's is big enough to endure the heat. McDonald's has had heat before. I mean, they got rid of the McRib and they got heat. All right. But all I'm saying is they've been getting a lot of heat that's unusual. Story on the National Review came out right out 6 days ago. It says a group of Democratic senators is now scrutinizing McDonald's price increases. Well, now, go figure. Senators Elizabeth Warren, Bob Casey, and Ron Wyden, all Democrats, wrote a letter last week to McDonald's CEO asking for more information about the company's pricing strategies. Why? Well, because they believe that corporate profits are keeping people from having food on their table. That Big Mac is important to feed a family. Says, we hope McDonald's will help us understand why its prices have risen so high. What world did they live in? The reason why McDonald's prices are so high are because of them. That's why. I guarantee you all three of those chuckleheads voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. Voted to flood the world with money and to pay people to stay out of work during COVID. I guarantee you they all just said the Green New Steel is the most awesome thing in the world. Let's spend billions of dollars on that too. And oh, by the way, how about $780 million to put charging stations for EVs on every street corner, and we've only built seven in 4 years? That's where your inflation came from. But no, it's McDonald's fault. Why McDonald's, by the way? Oh, maybe it's because Trump. McDonald's president Joe Erlinger, though, disputed social media posts suggesting the company was raising prices over and above the rate of inflation, saying franchisees in the local areas have to set their prices based upon inflationary pressures. And he points out that, you could talk about greedflation, but it's really not the large corporations that are causing the problem. He didn't say it that way. I paraphrased that for him. But then let's go one step further. How about the actual McDonald's where Trump served fries? Daily Caller, October 23rd, 5 days ago. The Mijos family was enjoying a meal at McDonald's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Bucks County, that's the one. The same restaurant where former President Donald Trump worked the drive-thru. And they noticed something peculiar. A group of armed guards wearing bulletproof vests. At McDonald's. Now, here's the thing. This section I'm doing, this dipper, is called Fighting Back, right? The Bucks County McDonald's says they began receiving threatening phone calls and social media messages following Trump's visit. Jim Worthington, the leader of Pennsylvania's delegation at the RNC and one of the key organizers, told the Daily Caller, as a precaution to protect his employees, the franchise owner has retained the private security force that he hired in the lead-up to the event. He said, though, this is it. This is the thing. He said, this is sadly a cost of doing business, but I value my employees and my customers, so I'm willing to bear that cost. You know what you didn't hear? You didn't hear, I'm sorry. You know what you didn't hear? You didn't hear, that'll never happen again. I won't do that. You know what you didn't hear? You didn't hear, well, we didn't mean to. We're not really going to vote for Trump. No, what you heard is, screw y'all, I'll hire armed guards and my people can just keep on serving burgers. How about that? I'm telling you, there's got to be more of a fight back. Now, we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about some fight backs, though, that have really sort of changed the landscape. Not the least of which is the one involving our guest at the top of the hour, Coach Joe Kennedy. I mean, there have been some court battles, y'all, in the fight backs that are changing the way things work for the better. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, we got plenty on tap here. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour when we get back from that break, Coach Joe Kennedy, the football coach who dared to kneel and pray on the football field where he, was employed in the public school system, and that's in Bremerton High School. Literally lost his job for praying. Well, he took that battle all the way to the Supreme Court. Talk about fighting back. He actually, because of his suit, it has changed the lay of the land for religious freedom in the courts. And it's because one man chose to fight back. And that's just, it's awesome. But let me do this. Let me get a couple more in here just so you know there's other people fighting back. How about the Babylon Bee? Which, by the way, the Babylon Bee, that has to be one of the funniest meme generators in like the history of memes. Just...
I don't know what's the story about to reference, but I think Newsom's lawsuit against them just, yep, there you go.
No, you're nailing it, man. That's exactly right. So, yeah, JP's on it. So the Babylon Bee filed suit against the state of California. Talk about fighting back. So what happened was California decided to pass a new law that says that they get to decide whether something is, needs to be taken off social media because it might be offensive. Well, who gets to decide that? Oh, yeah, the government. That's never a good idea. the government picking winners and losers is just not a good idea. So free speech advocates right now, according to townhall.com late last week, free speech advocates are celebrating after California agreed that it would not enforce one of its new censorship laws targeting political satire and parody. It literally targeted meme generators and political satire and parody. Why? Because they might say things that are harmful and could hurt an election. You mean like, oh, I don't know, counter the messaging being touted like the mainstream media saying that last night was a Nazi rally? I mean, what? Can you stop that from playing in California too, by the way? But yeah, Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a national special interest law firm, came in on behalf of the Babylon Bee, sued the state of California, and got an injunction that law will now not be enforced. In fact, here's Alliance Defending Freedom's vice president said, California's war against political memes is censorship, plain and simple. We should not trust the government to decide what is true. Governor Newsom has no constitutional authority to act as the humor police. Awesome. 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 How about Texas? You can always count on Texas to fight something, right? Texas. FoxNews.com, Dateline last Thursday. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing the Biden-Harris administration for not providing the Republican, not providing the information the Republican says he needs to verify the citizenship of 450,000 potentially ineligible voters. What does that mean? They've got 450,000 people registered to vote in Texas whose there's a question mark next to their citizenship, and all they're asking is for confirmation from DHS that they are not flagged for having come across the border and are here on the many parole programs that the Biden administration uses. So the federal lawsuit was filed in the Western District of Texas, claiming that this is withholding information is jeopardizing election security. It is. And here's the deal. Paxton even pointed out. He said, although federal and state law prohibits non-citizens from voting, federal law paradoxically creates opportunities for non-citizens to illegally register, while prohibiting states then from requiring the voters to have proof of citizenship to vote. So the common sense measure to identify illegal registration just says, tell us who they are. DHS won't do it. Why would they not? Oh, I thought DHS cared about election security. I mean, didn't DHS just appoint two election minders for the state of Alabama last week? Yes, they did. Well, thank God for Texas choosing to fight back on the issue. And this is not just, now, keep in mind, when I say fighting back, Alabama's fighting too, but we got sued by the federal government. So Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall is now defending the issue for the state. In this case, Texas went out and just filed suit themselves. Texas goes, well, we'll just sue you, DHS and Mayorkas. I've got more. I've got CNN losing a court battle over damaging claims. I've got New York federal judge grants permanent injunctions against handgun bans in public housing. All these things are real. There are people fighting back saying no. But let me give you a prelude right now to who's about to come on the show. I'm pretty excited about this. So you may have heard him called Coach Joe or Coach Joe Kennedy. But about 9 years ago, a football coach in Bremerton High School, which I believe, and I'll look it up to make sure, but I believe it was in Virginia, but I'll double check that. He started offering a prayer on the field after each high school football game, and the school district tried to shut him down. A 7-year-long legal battle that went up and down and up and down through the appellate processes. And all said and done, this football coach, he fought his way all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won. By winning his case, what he did was he completely unraveled because the new conservative court that we have right now, the opinion came out and reversed a prior ruling called the Lemon v. Kurtzman or Lemon Test. Now, I know I'm getting in the weeds, but the bottom line is this. When you have things like Roe v. Wade getting overturned, you don't realize how many other things that got overturned in other cases that have just as much impact on our daily lives. You and I might not have the issue of abortion in our life per se, but we all have religious freedom issues. And the Lemon Test was deemed to be far too onerous. The Lemon Test literally weighed out the issue of whether or not there was too much entanglement of the public sector, the government, with the expression of religion. And somehow or another, the lemon test was deciding that things like praying on a public football field created an entanglement between religion and government. An impermissible entanglement is what they used to call it. They would look at the character and the purpose of the institution. They would look at the nature of the aid the state was providing. But then they would also look at the relationship between the government and the religious institution. And it was that relationship piece that was constantly screwing things up. The government might not be paying for Coach Joe to pray, but they were paying for the field and allowing him to pray. And that's just scary. Well, with the help of good lawyers and God on his side, Coach Joe decided, I got to take a stand. I got to fight back. And so he did. And it rocked on for 7 years until finally, the Supreme Court of the United States stepped in and said, you know what? this is not the kind of country we're going to be. And they ruled that there is no entanglement. And they literally reversed and did away with the lemon test. And we have a whole new day now for the ability to see religious freedoms in the court system of the United States. Coming up next, the guy who made that happen, Coach Joe Kennedy. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. And listen, I just did this whole first dipper on the show about fighting back, right? And I had you a variety of stories about people who have chosen to take a stand and say no to the pressures from the left. And I'm about to bring somebody on right now who may be the poster boy for that. So Coach Joe Kennedy was a high school football coach at Bremerton High School out in Washington State. And he was literally fired, suspended first and then fired, because he dared to express his faith by praying quietly on the football field after a game. Kneeling and praying, because, you know, what could be more threatening to life as we know it? And so he literally lost his job, but he chose to say no to it and take it all the way to the Supreme Court. There is now a movie made about his life. He's got his book out called Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And he's on the line right now. Coach Joe Kennedy, how are you doing?
I am wonderful, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And by the way, you and I are going to be together tomorrow night at the Eagle Forum of Alabama dinner. I look forward to hearing you speak then, too.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait for that. I've been looking forward to this one for about a month now.
Well, it's going to be a good night. In fact, you know, what's interesting, I'll say this, too, because your case, which we'll get into in a minute, literally changed the legal landscape for religious freedom and freedom of expression. But almost all of the appellate court judges from the state of Alabama, the Supreme Court and all, are going to be there.
Oh, that's really cool. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, let's do this. How about telling us your story? Bremerton High School, you're coaching. What happened?
Yeah, well, I got to back up just a little bit and tell you that I was one of those terrible kids, just got in trouble and everything, got kicked out in group homes, foster homes, boys homes, and stuff like that. Joined the Marine Corps, I did a career in the Marines, and that kind of led me to when I was still an atheist, and I got out of the Marine Corps, got married to my wife, and everything radically changed when I was failing as a husband, and I accepted the Lord, and he pulled me to coaching. So my commitment with God was just to give thanks after every game, win or lose, and that's what I did. And we were doing that into our eighth season before it ever became any kind of a problem.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Well, first of all, Semper Fi, thank you for that. And then I'm also glad to hear that you're so openly expressive about the fact that Jesus jerked a knot in your tail, as my grandfather used to say. So 8 years of coaching, and then somebody complained, huh?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting because we got a compliment. So over the years, the kids asked if they could come out, and of course, this is a free country. They could do whatever they want, and they did, and it kind of grew. They asked if the other team could join, so it grew every year. And in our eighth season, we had all the schools in our district actually praying with us afterwards, giving thanks after every game. So that was really cool. Another educator from another school district saw what we were doing and called our principal and said, I just got to tell you what your football program is doing is awesome. So this all stemmed from a compliment, and they started an investigation to find out what was so awesome. And then things just kind of went sideways from there.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you were, just disrupting life as they knew it, leading to all kinds of doubt and confusion and destroying young child's minds. So did they immediately suspend you? Did they suspend you pending the investigation? I mean, how did that go down?
Yeah, it went through a couple of reiterations. So at first, we talked because these people are my friends. I worked for them for about a decade. My wife worked there for 15 years in the school district. And, you know, we spent holidays together with these people. They're friends of ours. Our kids grew up together in school together. So we weren't, you know, trying to fight about anything. This was something that I thought we could work out as adults. You know, imagine just talking about your problems. And their lawyers got involved and gave me a do not contact order to the school district that I couldn't talk to them unless I had legal representation, which I thought, man, what is going on? So I had to have First Liberty Institute, somebody from actually out of state, come and represent me because nobody in the state of Washington wanted to take it. And the school district and I, first they said, stop praying with the kids. And I did. I never prayed with the students again. Then they told me that I needed to choose between my faith and my job because Wow. They said, you can't do this. You can't pray out in the middle of a public field. And I was like, yes, you can. The First Amendment's pretty clear. I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, it's pretty clear. The freedom of speech and the free exercise, the freedom of religion, those are, you know, pretty simple things in my book. And that's where we just bumped heads, and the school district lawyers took a hard line, and they're being represented by an outside group, which is really unfortunate. And that's the way they took it, is that it's so much easier just to remove religion out of the public square than to deal with it or educate our people about it.
When you say an outside group, I meant to ask you that, and I'm glad you brought that up. Was this one of those Freedom From Religion Foundation kind of groups that comes in from out of state, or was it something else?
No, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a different name, but I shouldn't say that on the radio. So I just kind of leave their name out of it because they're just a bunch of punks and intimidators. It's really sad the way they work.
It really is. And they always have the invisible anonymous person in the community who's offended by what you're doing and needs to have their rights defended. I've watched it happen here in Alabama. I mean, I've had multiple, I used to serve in the Alabama State Senate, and I had multiple small towns in my district that would get these letters about their manger scenes at Christmas. And it was always because someone was offended, and yet no one has been offended for 20 years. But there you are. And the fear of the big lawsuit was so intimidating to some small towns that they would just roll over and forget it. But you didn't roll over. That's what gets me, is you chose not to roll over. I don't know if that was the Jesus in you or the Marine Corps in you or all the above, but I'm glad you didn't.
You know, yeah, that's where it gets really funny, because I question that. You know, they don't really teach you this in church or anything. What do you do when you're faced with these things? Because we always teach about love and all that kind of stuff as Christians. And, you know, as an American, that's not the kind of person I am. I can't back down to a fight, and I'll stand up for whatever is right, even if it's not popular. I mean, this is what I'm teaching that my football team, is to become better young men. And now all of a sudden I'm faced with this. And man, I tell you, the Marine in me and the red-blooded American, because I was an American before I became, you know, a follower of the Lord. And I could not live with that. And yeah, I was didn't know which way to go on it as far as being a Christian, but as an American, I just knew everything about it was wrong.
Well, it was, and it took a while for the court system to figure that out too, because you guys went up and down the line. You went to the federal appellate levels. They basically everything was going against you until you finally got to the Supreme Court. Am I right?
Yeah, we lost 7 times, and we went to the Supreme Court twice. So over a span of 8 years, and it took me 9 football seasons to actually get back on the football field. So, yeah, it was really super long. Yeah, justice wheels do not turn fast at all.
Holy cow. Well, I mean, you're not alone. There's other people that have gone through similar things, but yours is the one that got all the way up to SCOTUS. And I know you know this, but as an attorney, I got to say, I'm amazed at what came out of your decision. It was not just a win for you. It was not just isolated to, well, here's this guy, Joe Kennedy, we'll give him a win. It wound up being a win for religious freedom and religious expression nationwide. They repealed what you used to call the Lemon Test. I mean, it's really been a big deal, and it sent shockwaves across the nation to these Freedom from Religion Foundation punks who get out there and try to mess with our religious rights.
Oh yeah, and it's been going on for Lemon was I guess like 50 years ago,
yeah.
And we've been trained as an American society, the separation of church and state. You can't mix the two. And it all stemmed from these idiots that made a bad choice 50 years ago with the Lemon. And so I had no idea about that. I just asked for my job back and be able to pray. And it was really cool how the courts ruled on it and really clarified what the First Amendment means. Instead of being opposing forces, they actually work in unison with each other. And they really did a great job of explaining that. So we need to reprogram American society to this is the way it originally was and is supposed to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, I got to ask you, though, too, with a couple minutes left here, how surreal is it to have your name, like, attached to a movie and you've got a book out now? I mean, you were just coaching high school, what, you know, 8-9 years ago, and now, dang, look what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll show you what kind of sense of humor God has, because I tell you, couldn't it be me? I mean, and that's why we named the movie and the book Average Joe. I actually wanted it to be called A Little Below Average Joe, but they they said, no, that's too much of a mouthful. And, yeah, I mean, I'm nobody. I was a high school football coach in Bremerton, Washington, which most people never even heard of. So, yeah, it's just amazing. But I really believe that God had something to say and really wanted to tell the story about you know, the way that our country is, our faith and our relationships because of what me and my wife went through all of this.
Well, I would not call you, I mean, you're average, but you're not, if you know what I'm saying. And I would also say that, you know, regardless of how you might perceive yourself, you've come across, and I'm just bragging on you here, pretty spectacular. But at the same time, the way you said it, I will say this, if you look at Scripture, God has a way of using what he calls the least of these among us to do amazing things. David and Goliath, the whole thing. And you're a David and Goliath story.
Yeah, if God could use me, imagine what he could do with the rest of America if we all stood up together.
Well, Coach, listen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate not only your humility in it all, but the fact that you do not take for granted what you got. I also know you moved to the Southeast, so welcome to the Southeast United States, by the way.
Yeah, I'm part of the SEC now, yeah.
All right, so now we have to know, are you going to declare, is it Auburn or Alabama by any chance?
No, I'm going to go with my alma mater. I got to go with University of Tennessee, go Vols.
Oh.
So sorry to your producer.
Oh, my producer.
Sorry,
come
Alabama,
on, Coach.
I still love you.
Come on, man.
Come on. I won't say who you guys lost to this year.
Well, Coach, we've got right now, we live stream the show as well as being live on radio. We've got your picture plus a picture of the cover of your book, Average Joe. People can find it on Amazon and everywhere else that books are sold. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at the Eagle Forum dinner.
I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to meet you, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Take care.
All right.
That's just a cool story. Take me to a break, brother. I'm just going to sit here and just revel in that one for a minute. That's just a cool story. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's an old saying, God uses cracked pots, right? He just does. And God uses the least among us. And I don't think Coach is the least among us, but you can tell he has a humble attitude about where he's been and what he's been a part of. But God took somebody who was just kneeling on a football field and changed the legal landscape. And it would not have happened if he had just rolled over and said, okay. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, listen, we got tons of doings, but I'm about to switch dippers. So you know what we got to talk about. I mean, first of all, I just got to pause, though, and reflect back. Wasn't that a cool interview just a minute ago?
That was a good interview. And, you know, going to being privileged to go to a Christian high school and play football there, you know, my high school football coach was very involved, you know, spiritually in our lives. And, you know, we would have Bible studies at his house and everything and pray before and after every practice, before and after every game. So it's just thinking in my mind of it would just be I almost can't imagine not having that in a coach. And, you know, the fact that they attacked him for simply just praying and having that influence on them, it's mind-boggling, but I'm also glad that he took it to the courts and he won. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, let me get a couple of text messages on that. We might even just end – I might not even start the dipper, next dipper, until we get back from the break, because text messages – Stephen from Elkmont – oh, that's a long one. Okay, hang on a second. I'm not sure I can read this entire thing. It says, good afternoon, Colonel. I appreciate your ability to discuss contentious political matters in an open, honest manner while still holding and publicly professing your faith. As conservative Christians, I believe there's a proper, although often difficult, balance and responsibility we must maintain as we discuss so many provocative issues. This is a balance and responsibility that so-called progressive Christians and progressives in general do not feel bound to. Well, listen, man, I'm not going to read the entire text. It's very long, but thank you so much for it. And he ends by saying, and like you always say, God is still on his throne. Thanks for what you do. I appreciate that, Stephen, and you are so right. In fact, you remind me. So two things. One is my latest written op-ed is out today. It always goes first on 1819 News. It's on that very thing, Stephen. It's on the fact that faith and politics, they do go together. Don't let anybody tell you different. You are allowed to vote your faith. You are allowed to even get in the public square and use your faith to decide how to vote and to tell other people to vote. You're certainly allowed to. So, Stephen, thank you for that. I'll also say, too, that I decided that message was going to resonate enough that I needed to also do my video podcast on that. The Right Philosophy comes out on Wednesday. It'll be an expanded version. What you see in the written op-ed that came out today, picture that as like the teaser, if you will, for about 20 minutes or so of talking about faith in the public arena and why it's okay, and even giving some great examples of people who have taken a stand for their faith to their own detriment against their government, and why we cannot just lay down on it. So, Stephen, thank you for the long text. Great stuff. Jerry, brand spanking new in the text line, Jerry from Hartsel. Yeah, we're glad you're in there, man. Says, Joe didn't want to say it, but I will. He said Alabama's two losses were Vandy and the Vomiteers.
That's a good one.
Okay. Tom from Decatur says, tying your interview with the coach concerning prayer, did you happen to see the story in the UK concerning a man silently praying for his sick boy has been ruled illegal? Yeah, Tom, I did see that. I need to dig into it because I don't know what's happening in the UK. By the way, I accepted Christ living in London, England, believe it or not. My dad was military. We were stationed overseas. And so I literally came to know the Lord because I was living in the UK. And now to watch what's happening over there to religious freedom, it's just going by the wayside. You're not allowed to stand and pray silently on a sidewalk without being arrested. It's just unbelievable. And I don't mean that little. It's not just one case. It's multiple. Jerry from Decatur says, God was glorified in Coach Joe. All Christians as soldiers of the cross will give an account for our warfare, airborne. Appreciate you, man. John from Huntsville wants to know, JP, did you see the Dodgers win game two?
I did, and unfortunately it looks like the Dodgers are just going to outclass the Yankees, which I knew was going to happen, but I don't want the Dodgers to win, man.
Shohei.
Probably the greatest player of all time already. It's hard to lose if you got him.
50-50 is going to be 60-60 the way he's going right now.
Yeah.
All right, more to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We're going to switch gears. Dipper number two, the rally. It shall no longer be referred to as the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden. It shall just be referred to as the rally because it was the rally. Y'all, JP, did you get to watch any of it by any chance? I know you were traveling back last night, but did you see any of it?
I saw a couple of it, a couple of minutes of it live, but I saw tons of clips from it. It was it looked like quite the scene.
It was quite the scene. Mm-hmm. Like 25,000 people. He sold out Madison Square Garden in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
25,000, I think, in attendance inside. An estimated 70,000 decided to stay outside, like in an overflow, and just. That's
that. I mean, the fact that New York turned out like that for him, especially after all the attacks. I mean, I saw one poll has it. Democrats may only win the New York by 66 to 34, which would be the least margin of victory that a Democrat has won New York City in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So it looks like the tides are turning even in places like New York City. But it's just it's absurd. And I think the left's reaction to it shows their desperation and their panic right now.
They are just having a complete freak out. So, yeah, if you haven't seen, the left has decided that last night, somehow or another, I don't know how this happens, but Hitler was reincarnated and he came back in his, you know, brown, you know, shirt and black boots and calling for the Sieg Heil. And the crowd all responded with Sieg Heil. And so I kid you not when I say this. By the way, I am right now having the most viral moment I've ever had on social media. We're about to hit 2,000 likes. I just checked it a minute ago. We're at like 1,940 something. But I posted this morning, and you can find it on my Twitter at @SinPhilWilliams, or go to Right Side Media's Twitter. I think you retweeted it there too, didn't you?
I did, yes.
But I posted this morning. It's a video that MSNBC. This is real. MSNBC ran a storyline last night saying that because in 1939 that a Nazi party held a rally at Madison Square Garden, that the fact that Trump is doing it now is very significant. And they actually showed imagery of Nazi rallies as a backdrop to the Republican presidential candidate holding his own rally. Oh, by the way, John F. Kennedy's held rallies there.
Exactly.
Bill Clinton held mm-hmm. rallies there. I know there was somebody else. There's been at least three Democrat presidents that have all held rallies there. And the fact that they're doing this, like you said, is just such smacks of such desperation.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's shameless panicking, honestly. And I don't think they realize that message is not coming across to their fear mongering is not working.
No, it's not
that way.
They're doubling down. In fact, we're sitting here just a minute ago and I'm watching and I'm thinking, I watched big chunks of this last night. I saw Elon Musk. I saw Melania speak. I saw Trump speak. I saw, gosh, I've forgotten one another of the previous speakers. Nothing in there said anything about, you know, negativity or racism or, you know, slanderous comments. And yet I was watching, I pointed it out to you, CNN had their ticker about the racist and vile rhetoric that Trump, that's what they were literally saying, racist and vile rhetoric.
Anti-immigration rhetoric.
Anti-immigration
too.
Rhetoric. Well, he did talk about anti-illegal immigration. Yeah, he did, at length. Biggest deportation plan in the history of the United States, he says, and I hope so. But listen, so if you haven't heard, so some of the things that happened last night, which were just crazy cool, and we'll play a clip for you in just a minute of Tucker Carlson because he was on fire. But it started off with a comedian named Tony Hinchcliffe, who I don't even really know Tony Hinchcliffe.
Oh, he's really popular amongst comedians right now. He's got a comedy show called Kill Tony that is doing amazing,
oh, that's
amazing
him.
Numbers, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
He's hilarious.
Well, they had him lead off. He warmed the crowd up. And apparently he said something mean about Puerto Rico. So now the Latinx vote is going away, we hear. Not the Latinx vote. Somebody tweeted out earlier, Trump just lost the Latinx vote. And I said, but he's doing great with Hispanics. But that's how we started off. The evening started off with Tony Hinchcliffe, who gave, you know, just a... by the way, there's a great Twitter site that I like because they do great recaps called The Vigilant Fox. Vigilant Fox has something like, I don't know, 1.3 million followers. But Vigilant Fox had all the clips. If you haven't seen it, you can see it there. But he starts off with Tony Hinchcliffe, and he says, In an act of pure bravery, Hinchcliffe took on Hillary Clinton, warning that if he somehow ends up committing suicide next week, he didn't do it. And that's where it went from there. Then we had Vivek Ramaswamy, who came on there, brought all kinds of energy, was laying it on thick, talking about safer neighborhoods, good jobs, clean streets, a country where you're judged on the content of your character, not the color of your skin. And then at some point they had Tulsi Gabbard came on and issued a warning about what happens if you have a Kamala Harris in office with censorship and open borders. And then John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Listen, this is crazy. We've got Vivek Ramaswamy, who's a practicing Hindu. Tulsi Gabbard, who's a former Democrat, who I believe is also a practicing Hindu, if I'm not mistaken. And then you've got former Democrat Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's of the Kennedy clan, whose dad was assassinated, whose uncle was assassinated for being, you know, in office as Democrats. But it's a racist Nazi rally. They had a black lady sang the national anthem. They had black speakers. They had Jewish speakers. They had Hindus. They had every walk of life on stage. And he's anti-immigrant. Melania is an immigrant. For the love of God.
Elon is an immigrant.
Elon is an immigrant. Yeah, Elon Musk was awesome. I think hands down, there were some great speeches. Elon Musk was kind of hilarious in his usual way. You know, he's like awkward but yet cool at the same time. It's kind of weird, the mix. But the one who knocked it out of the park to me was Tucker Carlson. So Tucker's speech was like 9 minutes, and it was a mic drop speech. In fact, he literally just almost like mic dropped and walked off the stage when he was done. But you got that audio clip? So I've got an audio clip here, and it's a little bit longer. I think I got about a minute and 40 seconds of it, of a 9-minute speech. But go ahead and play it.
Fair system would make Liz Cheney powerful.
God almighty.
No fair system would make Larry Fink rich. No fair system would elevate someone like Kamala Harris to a presidential nomination. She's never been accused of doing anything useful. She has precisely no achievements. She's a nominee without getting a single vote. She is a metaphor for the system they created to make themselves rich and powerful, and then they have the gall to lecture you, the people who can actually change a flat tire and repair a power grid, who have useful jobs, who pay your taxes and work 40 hours a week, lecture you that you are somehow immoral. And Donald Trump has empowered the rest of us through mostly just sticking around in the face of their hate and abuse and persecution. He has given the rest of us the right to call BS on the charade. No, you are not better than us. No, you are not smarter than us. No, you do not deserve what you have. You probably stole it. No, you're not going to bully me into silence anymore. And I can promise you at this point, 9 days out, when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard and pretty much every high school senior and college sorority girl in the country has come out finally say, yeah, I am for Donald Trump, actually. When the entire country has realized there is nothing embarrassing about this, what's embarrassing is to take a perfectly great country and destroy it, as they have. I'm not ashamed. You should be. At that moment, it's going to be pretty tough for them, 10 days from now, to look in the eye to America with a straight face. It's going to be pretty hard to look at us and say, you know what, Kamala Harris, she got 85 million votes because she's just so impressive.
He went on to talk about the fact that Kamala has never done a thing in her life. It was actually pretty funny, but it was also true. Tucker, in his usual style, has the ability to sound like he's railing without yelling at you, but yet he is yelling at you. By the way, you scared the crap out of me by having the volume up on his on his voice.
It's hard to tell how loud it's going to play until it actually plays. You know,
I had to gather myself up again. Tucker has that gift for persuasive dialogue. It's a gift. It sounds like he's talking normal, but he's talking persuasively at the same time. And as if I'm just stating a fact, he could tell you, I think Tucker has such a gift with it. He could tell you that the sky is green and say it so persuasively with a tone that's like, why would you question me?
But last night he was on it, brother. I mean, that was my favorite moment of the whole night. I loved Elon's time. I loved seeing Vivek. I thought Melania did an amazing job just being her classy self. And oh, by the way, speaks multiple languages, and she's out there speaking in what is not her first language. And she's watched her husband, her family all be vilified and attacked. And she comes out there poised and composed and just delivers, you know, right there in front of a crowd of 25,000.
You know, my favorite part, though, is when they all saluted and said, Heil Trump. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. It's like, Heil they didn't do that. Trump. No, that's right. They didn't happen. I thought they did.
That's what they're saying happened.
Oh, yeah. So just so you know, MSNBC, if you didn't hear me say it earlier, literally ran a story ahead of the rally showing imagery of Nazi rallies in the past and likened it to what was going to happen before they even let it happen on the Trump rally. And I'm going to tell you right now, I even had somebody on my Twitter feed, which, like I said, is exploding right now. You can follow me at @SinPhilWilliams or follow Right Side Media at Right Side Media, either one. But somebody said in there, is it possible for us, said that they were an attendee. They said, is it possible for us as attendees to file a class action lawsuit for defamation? And I said, that's an interesting idea. I said, you're looking at 25,000 people that were just maligned as being Nazis for showing up at an event. Listen, so the bar is pretty high on a defamation case like this, but you have to be able to prove that they said or wrote what was said or written with actual malice and intent to defame. I'm pretty sure that's there because there's no other explanation for it. None. All right, JP, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come back and keep talking about the rally. You guys chime in. I want to hear your thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, we got some text messages to catch up on real quick. Oh, Rita from Scottsboro is talking about her Right Side Ruffian t-shirt. She is indeed a Right Side Ruffian. She's an OG Right Side Ruffian with the show. So, Rita, we're glad you like it. I sent a picture of herself wearing that shirt. Outstanding. I like it. Thank you very much, ma'am. I got Mike from ARAB says, how about my A&M Aggies? First in the SEC, yet ranked below 3 beaten SEC teams. Good thing it's a 12-team playoff. You want to chime in on that?
The Aggies are playing really good. They've looked a lot better since that Notre Dame loss. I did pick them to beat LSU this past weekend, though. So, you know, they're playing really well.
Nice. Mike from Coxie says, Tucker does have the ability to talk to people in a way that's convincing. If he came out and said the moon was made of cheese, most people would go buy some crackers. Nice. Darlene from Gadsden. Hey, Darlene says, we better stand for our freedom now or it's going to be gone. I think this election has implications that go way beyond just who's going to be president. I think Darlene's right. I think there are aspects of the freedoms that we enjoy that are going to be degraded, eroded, attacked in more detail if we don't take things back on this election. It's a huge deal. Huge. This election is about so much more than just, well, I like Trump or I don't like Trump. It's so big, in my opinion. The biggest one in my life, I know that's I cast my first vote for Ronald Reagan's second term.
You know, everybody, I think, amplifies elections. Well, maybe specifically the actual candidates themselves saying, this is the most important election in our lifetime. It's the most important election, you know, what they tend to exaggerate it. But I think this one, if Donald Trump wins, I don't know if it'll be the nail in the coffin because, you know, obviously there's more elections to come. But I think it'll be a big blow to the liberal left and, you know, the movement that they've been trying to have. You know, you talked about England earlier and what's going on there. I feel like that's what the left wants to turn the United States into. And if Donald Trump wins this November and 8 days away now, I think that will be a big blow to them from achieving that.
It will. You know, one of the things I said at some point in the last few weeks is that what we're looking at right now is it's not just that there's a Democrat president. It's that progressivism in general, liberalism, and not liberalism in the true sense, like, you know, liberty, but liberalism in terms of progressive liberals who want to erode traditional values and all that, has felt empowered for the last 3 years. It's like watching, you can see it like, for instance, you can see the labor unions. They have felt empowered in the last few years. Because why? What happens in the White House and the absolute emphasis on the things that have been happening has made the unions feel empowered. Well, you can shift that to other things on the typically liberal side of politics. And right now, the progressive agenda, I mean, the activists in the environmentalist movement, the activists in the transgender and LGBTQ movement, the activists in anything to do with immigration and open borders, they've all felt empowered because they not only were given a free pass, they were like encouraged to go get what you can, get what you can. And I think they also, at this point, though, I think we're seeing an even more rabid sense of what they're doing, because right now they're worried they're about to lose their empowerment. We've got to disempower them. Absolutely. John from Huntsville just texted in and says, Phil, I have to admit I did not see any of Trump's rally, but I do love rally cars. Okay. Thanks, John. That's John. John, that was a dad joke, and you know it was. That was a dad joke, man. You're too young for dad jokes. You can't do that. All right. Hey, listen, more on this. The liberal media is wickedly lying about this thing. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like, good Lord, a lot. The wicked liberal media is literally just imploding right now and just disgorging their discontent upon it. It's like I think that we're going to have to do one of those kind of like memes where you pull all the best clips of the meltdowns and the incredible rhetoric they're coming up with. But yeah, I got a piece here from Town Hall. Donald Trump held a rally at Madison Square Garden. The event showcased the high enthusiasm the Trump base feels heading into the final week of the election. I mean, it points out that starting at 6:30 in the morning, New York City was just awash with Trump supporters. 75,000 people attended, if not more. Not all can make it in the world-famous arena. The overflow was also a sight to behold. But the main liberal media narrative collapsed in minutes. Said it might have never gotten off the ground. It crashed and burned like the New York Jets. The line that this was a Nazi rally, it was anything but, as Holocaust survivors even attended. That's cool. Holocaust survivors were attending. It was one of the most pro-Israel demonstrations the city has seen in months after all the pro-Hamas agitators. That's where we've been, y'all. And I mean, you've got folks of every generation. You've got folks of every demographic. You've got Israeli flags hanging in the audience. You've got black folks sitting next to white folks, and they were all having a good time. But the left can't stand it. They hate the rally. They want you to believe something else. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. A couple of text messages that came in during the break. Mike from ARAB sent a picture. What is that? Oh, imagine voting. Okay, I'm trying to figure out how this works. What's the... Oh, 4 years of Biden is the first. Oh, I got you. Yeah, okay. He's talking about the Twin Towers coming down and how, you know, the first tower being like the first 4 years of Biden and the second tower is like, you know, you're waiting for
voting for the second plane.
Yeah, voting for the second plane. Wow. Jim from Grove Oak says, talk about liberal media imploding. How about NBC trying to delete Nick Bosa last night? Oh, is that the... was that on the aftermath of the game?
Yeah, after the game that. He had the... a MAGA hat, and they tried to quickly...
They tried to edit that out.
Yeah, he wasn't being interviewed, but he walked behind Brock Purdy being interviewed and showed the hat, and they tried to get that off real quick.
But they didn't get away with it, though, right?
No. And now they're just exposing that they tried to get rid of it. So
nice. James from Alabaster says, that story of faith gave me chills. He's talking about we had Coach Joe Kennedy on. If you missed that, man, that's worth going back to our podcast and get... We have every single day, by the way, we have a lot of folks that listen to the show after the fact. So we're live every day. But then after each show, JP takes the show, cleans up the audio, removes all the ads and everything else, gets it all in like ready form for podcasting. And it goes up and, you know, I hadn't even looked in a while, but I'd imagine we're way over a quarter million downloads, I know. But I would bet we're probably 260,000 downloads now easily.
Yep.
But yeah, you can find that interview again. It's so great. But James from Alabaster says, that story of faith, talking about Coach Kennedy, gave me chills. He said, 9 years of fighting for Jesus will definitely give anyone rewards in heaven. He said, I remember several years ago, around 2015, a supervisor demanded that I take off a wristband with a Bible scripture on it. Wow, Jeremiah 29:11. Wow, one of my favorite verses. He says, I didn't stand up at the time because I had only, you know what, your text cut off, darn it. But it says Jesus and his true followers will always win in the end. So I don't know what you said there, James, because your text cut off. For some reason our system does that once in a while. But listen, the bottom line is you know the deal, and you were aware. And the fact that you had that wristband on at all got his attention, didn't it? So point made. James, thanks for the text. Hey, you and I were talking during the break. So we're talking about the liberal media imploding about the rally last night. It's just called the rally. We don't call it the MSG rally, the Martin. It's just known forever, ever as the rally. But part of the aftermath is the liberal media just having come apart because they realize Trump's got a movement going. And what just happened with Joe Rogan stuff?
So obviously for those who somehow haven't heard, Trump went on Joe Rogan on Friday and on Spotify, I think it got 20 million views before even 24 hours after it had been out.
God, it's unreal.
And currently on YouTube, it has 34 million views 2 days after the fact. But apparently there's a lot of drama because people are all over X talking about how it has apparently been shadow banned from YouTube. Because if you look up Joe Rogan Trump on YouTube, the actual video does not pop up. It's just news about it, people talking about it, or top 10 moments from the Joe Rogan's interview with Trump. The interview itself does not pop up.
Wow.
But if you go to Joe Rogan's account and go to the videos tab, it's in there in the videos. So that means it's up on YouTube, but it is currently being shadow banned from the search bar for when you look up to go watch it. It's not gonna pop up to show you where it is.
Somebody, somehow, at YouTube clicked the algorithm button and mm-hmm. got that thing shadow banned so that it's harder for people to search out.
Yep, harder for people to find. But I guess they haven't done a good job of it because it's currently got 34 million views. But
but still, still the very. I mean, it's only days old.
Two days old. Yeah.
Yeah, but they know there's 1 week to the election and they don't want people watching it mm-hmm. because he did really well. Oh, by the way, I think that whole narrative that Kamala was trying with, he's exhausted. He is not mentally fit. I'm not sure that's even working anymore. Not that it ever really was, but if you can sit down, I mean, the guy, if I'm not mistaken, in that one day, he did an event in Austin, Texas, I think. And then he went and did 3 hours with Joe Rogan, 3 hours of freewheeling. I don't know what the questions are. Hit me with what you got discussion and did, by all accounts, did really well. And then went from there to a rally, I think, in Michigan.
Yeah, he flew over in Michigan. Yep.
Good Lord. That makes me tired thinking about it. And the man is 78.
Yeah.
He's like indefatigable. I mean, it's just unreal. Shadow banned, whatever. Hey, I tell you who wasn't shadow banned last night at the rally was the state of Alabama. That's kind of cool. Story here on 1819 News. So President Donald Trump, it says, praised Alabama. I saw this, by the way. Praised Alabama and its senior U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville Sunday evening in front of a sold-out crowd during a star-studded rally at Madison Square Garden. Says if elected to office on November 5th, Trump promised to usher in another golden age in America, driving down inflation, driving out illegal immigration. And during his hour-long speech, he also thanked Tuberville and Alabama voters directly for their support. He said, we have a great senator here who I love, Senator Tommy Tuberville. Can I say it like him? We have a great senator here. I can't do it.
It's a special talent to do a good Trump impression.
It really is. I'd be hosing myself. He says, we have a senator here who I love, Senator Tommy Tuberville. He's from a great place, Alabama. I love Alabama. And then somebody in the audience, of course, had to yell back, Roll Tide. Because that's not what he meant, but they had to do it anyway. All you Bammers out there, my gosh. Trump said he had a massive lead in Alabama over Harris, which is true. And then he went up to say, he said, I'm up in Alabama, 49 points. He says, 49 points. We're up in a lot of different places, but it's a great place. Thank you, Tommy, he says. Yeah, Tuberville was actually there as a guest, official guest of the Trump campaign. So very cool. Alabama getting a shout out at the rally.
I believe in 2020, didn't he win by a record margin against Biden then in Alabama? I'll be interested to see the margin this time around.
So what's interesting, more interesting, my friend, is that right now you reside in what was known, it's changing now, but what was known as the 4th Congressional District of Alabama. We were the most, Etowah County was the most populous county within the 4th Congressional District. The 4th Congressional District had the highest per capita vote for Trump of any congressional district in the entire United States.
Wow. That's nuts.
Apparently, you live in Trump Mecca. Just saying. I'm trying to see if I got anything else here about the rally worth pointing out. But I will say this. There's a lot of talk about what's going on in the Harris campaign. There's a lot of talk about the fact that while the media is imploding, so is her campaign. Now, she's got a big event tonight. They're doing all they can to try and, you know, squelch the rumors that they're done. But what we're seeing right now is that the Kamala Harris campaign appears to have lost the joy. Remember that? Remember that during the DNC? It was all about the joy. The joy is back. The joy is here. It's awesome to be a part of the joy. There is no joy in Mudville right now. None. Mighty Casey has struck out. They've got a candidate who they recognize now couldn't find her backside with both hands, and she is just lost and does not know how to find a message that resonates, does not know how to make up lost ground, does not know how to debate openly. She does not know how to answer a question directly, and it's showing through. Now, we're not done. We got a ways to go. We are not done, but the truth of the matter is, the air is going out of the machine right now on the Democrat side, and they don't know what to do with it. And so panic is setting in. I will go ahead and hazard that panic is setting in not just because it's an election. It's bigger than that. The panic is setting in because they know that they have so overplayed their hand that they're going to have to now live with results of what they have done for the last 4 years. They have told you over and over again, Russia collusion and January 6th was an insurrection. They have told you over and over again about the evils of climate change and about how the Green New Steel is a great idea. They have driven your economy into the ground. They have called you racist. They have done all they can to commit lawfare against Trump. They have tried to have him arrested, convicted. They've even tried to shoot him. And all said and done, every bit of it's failed. So when they lose the election, when they lose the election next week, did you hear me say it? When they lose the election next week, what it means is it was not just a loss of an election. It was a complete repudiation of who they are and what they stand for. The agendas that they have been foisting on us now for the last 4 years, completely unabated, locking us down during COVID, not even allowing people to go to church. The things that they've done over the last 4 years that have not been done in our history are now going to be basically there for their accounting. They're going to be held to account, and they know it, and they're scared to death. It means that everything they tried still didn't stop the message of hope that the Republicans are bringing to this thing. It also means, oh, by the way, that they're going to have to face a new day of accountability. Because I don't buy the crap about, what is it, Kamala says, Trump sitting in the Oval Office going over his list of revenge, you know, candidates. No, there's not that. But what there will be is a house cleaning. There's going to be layers of bureaucracy that are going to get lopped off. There's going to be people that are going to drop their retirement papers as soon as he wins because they know the jig is up. There's going to be people who retire from public life. Suddenly, Mitch McConnell on the Republican side is not going to be the Senate Majority Leader. Praise God. But what I'm telling you is, they are fearful of this. Less because they hate Trump. Now they're fearful of it because what it means to what their message has been for the last 4 years, and it didn't stick. and they don't know what to do with that because they have so committed to the message that for the idea that it would not take hold is just a complete repudiation. It's a backhand. And it means that they have not only lost, but they've lost face. All right, that was a great mini rant. Take me to a break, my brother. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. Last dipper of the day coming up, Transmania. Oh, boy. This is a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. I got a bunch of text messages, so I'll clean up some of those and keep you guys current. I appreciate the fact that I've got an audience that actually participates in this show. I mean, like, good Lord, the audience participation of this show is just, like, constant, and love that. Missy from Faultwell says, so when so many Democrats voted by mail in 2020, you never saw ballot boxes set on fire, but now they are burning in multiple states like it was coordinated. So strange. I had not heard the multiple states thing. Can you look that up for us? I did see one that happened, and I forgot where it was. I think it was in
Washington.
Was it in Washington?
I saw one in Washington State that happened. But I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah, so ballot boxes, which are a lot like mailboxes. They're just for stuffing ballots in, and it's a recipe for disaster.
So CNN says Oregon and Washington right now, there are instances of ballot boxes being lit on fire.
How many?
It says, I don't know how many ballot boxes, but it currently says reportedly hundreds of ballots were destroyed in a drop box arson in Vancouver, Washington, and then also in Portland, Oregon.
Wow. 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 Okay. All right. We'll keep our eye on that story because wouldn't that be something? Darlene from Gadsden again says, Kamala is supposed to be staple. supposed to be. Becky from Shelby County says, and Kamala says Trump's not physically or mentally fit and has canceled many engagements. Yeah, well, that storyline's not holding up, is it? Brian from Huntsville says, did either of you reflect the statement that Roll Tide is two four-letter words stacked back-to-back?
I don't even know what he means by that, but
John C. from Madison said, I heard that Beyonce was at Harris's Houston rally, but she did not have a concert. She just spoke. Is that true? That is true. So there's been a lot of controversy. It depends on who you ask, but there is some discussion about whether or not Beyonce was actually paid to show up and make an appearance, like paid a lot. The Beyonce, there are a lot of folks that thought that Beyonce was going to do a mini concert as part of the rally. No, she was out on stage for about 5 minutes. All she did was speak along with somebody else, Kelly Rowland. Who is that? Do you know who that is?
I don't even know who that is.
Okay, good. but she was wearing like a homeless man suit. It was weird.
Okay.
But that being said, Beyonce spoke and then left the stage, and the audience was not happy. In fact, Kamala got booed when she first came out because people were expecting Beyonce to do the Beyonce thing.
It's like who was it? It was Megan Thee Stallion that performed at a rally of hers earlier, and when she performed before the rally, people just left after the concert. So I think they probably wanted to prevent that from happening again and being embarrassed by that.
Well, apparently a bunch of them left when Kamala took the stage and Beyonce didn't sing. So there's that. James from Alabaster says, you know what?
I think it's the rest of his text that I sent earlier.
That's the text he sent in earlier. Okay, so James is the one who was sending the text earlier. It's so weird. Sometimes our machine breaks a text down and sends it in parts, and we just got the second part. He's the one who said earlier that he had a supervisor made him take off a wristband. I'm wearing a wristband right now that says pray first, so I can't imagine somebody telling you to take it off. Anyway, demanding to take off a wristband with a Bible verse written on it, Bible scripture written on it, Jeremiah 29:11. So I didn't stand up at the time because I only had been on a few years and didn't have any seniority. But I prayed for the guy and about the situation, and the guy tried his best to get promoted to a higher rank. And then the text breaks off again. Anyway, bottom line, James, thank you for your witness, man. Pam from Locust Fork, they can't have joy when they kick the Lord Jesus Christ out of their rally. No doubt. Thank you. Very good. John from Huntsville John from Huntsville, I do not know what is happening with your texters. But I'm getting like half sentences from you. It's just weird.
But I think he was talking about the commercial where the small business owner and the farmer from Alabama on the Kamala Harris commercial saying that he voted for Trump in 16 and 20, and now he's voting for Harris. And didn't really provide any reasons why in the commercial, which I thought was funny. But I think he actually showed up to wasn't the DNC. It may be one of Harris's rallies. He was there.
We should get that guy on the show.
Maybe.
Get that guy on the show and say, okay.
Explain why.
First of all, explain why. Secondly, did they pay you?
Yeah.
How much were you paid to make that ad? Did they lift the sanctions from your farm? Do you feel like in general that the Harris Waltz group would like just do great things for you as a farmer?
Did you get a brand spanking new tractor after that doing that ad?
Yeah. Yeah. Funny how the new combine rolled onto the back 40 right after all that happened. Do a little row cropping with the new machinery that Kamala gave you. No, seriously, if anybody knows where he is, I'd love to talk to him. All right, we're coming right back. Transmania for the last half hour into Go Home Time on a Meatloaf Monday. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I do mean it. Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so in getting ready for go home time here on a Meatloaf Monday, we are wrapping the discussion about the rally, but you're welcome to text in if you want to. I'm going to switch to my last dipper of the day, Transmania. Wow. So if you ever had any questions, if you had any questions at all about the evilness of what is happening in D.C. right now, about what I said earlier about the left and the progressive left feeling so empowered, because they do, all you got to do is look at the transgender agenda. And, oh, by the way, let's go ahead and say the transgender agenda as to kids. Because as much as I disagree with it and don't buy into it and think that it's awful, that transgenderism as an adult is a far different thing than foisting it upon a minor child. Keep in mind, minor child means that they are legally speaking not even allowed to enter into a contract on their own. They cannot have a driver's license. They cannot vote. There are laws about things like statutory rape because it's statutory, meaning in accordance with the statute, it is rape to have sex with an underage child because that child is not legally deemed capable of giving consent. And yet they want you to believe that despite the fact that some of these kids can't even tie their own shoes yet, that they are statutorily too young for most of what is considered adulting, that they can make decisions about their own sexuality, even to the extent of requesting medical intervention. Well, enter the state of Ohio, specifically Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Division of Children and Family Services. I got an exclusive story here from Daily Caller. Came out just last Thursday, I believe. An Ohio Child Welfare Agency created a confidential spreadsheet tracking the sexual orientation and transgender identities of children as young as 5. Now, it's not just that they're out there. Is that they're out there, they're keeping lists. Why? Why would you keep a list of this? And they're also, if you get down to it, helping promote. So the spreadsheet was part of their so-called safe identification program. It teaches social services staff how to collect information. See? Teach them how to go out. Are you feeling like you are? Yes. Okay, thank you. You answered my question correctly. You are transgender. Ding! Put them on the list. You got, in 2017, this Cuyahoga County Department of Children and Family Services was one of 4 social services nationwide that were chosen to research, develop, and evaluate transgender ideologies in child welfare interventions. What does that mean? It means that if you ever worked with DHR here in Alabama, you know there's times when they have to intervene because of abuse of a child or because of ill treatment, or because a household has gone through something that has been polarizing to the child. And in this case, Now, in Cuyahoga County, it involves things like parents that don't affirm a child's sexual orientation. I mean, for the love of God, actually the love of God is not included in this. What am I saying? But it literally has interventions as a child welfare agency when parents and caregivers don't affirm a child's sexual orientation or gender confusion, making them feel unsafe and therefore need to be removed from the home. Here's my bigger point. Not just that it's happening in Cuyahoga County, but the fact that the Biden-Harris administration called Cuyahoga County trailblazers and wanted to nationalize this model. What? Yes. On the confidential spreadsheet, by the way, Cuyahoga County staff detailed how they helped children obtain sex change drugs. Oh, I thought it was just a list. Nope. It's a list of them and their interventions, to include helping children obtain sex change drugs, purchasing chest binders for non-binary children, and noting that at least one of the tracked children was only 5 years old. 5 years old. My grandson is 5 years old. He plays Power Rangers right now. The idea that they're doing this is just absolutely antithetical to good common sense. It's also abuse. The document tracks whether children are transgender or gender diverse. I'm spending time on this because it's so important. This is not just one county. This is a county that is working off of a $10 million federal grant awarded through the University of Maryland by the Biden HHS. Oh, you know, the same HHS where so-called Rachel Levine, the dude that wears dresses, is the deputy. The grant funded the creation of a research group that was, okay, get this. Here's the name of the, I guess for $10 million, you got to have the biggest name you can think of. The grant funded the creation of a research group that was named the, you ready? National Quality Improvement Center on Tailored Services, Placement Stability, and Permanency for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Questioning, and Two-Spirit Children and Youth in Foster Care. Put that on a business card. That is your business card. With a size like 6 font. Good luck. But here's the thing. If Harris Waltz walks in the door after an election, what you just heard is going to be that all that is the groundbreakers. That's what the Biden-Harris administration called the trailblazers. What does that mean? They want to blaze more trails. If you're blazing a trail, it means you're opening a way for others to follow. And they literally said they wanted to nationalize that model. Good Lord. How about this? The Daily Wire. The Daily Wire has a piece. Oh, believe it or not, this is a UN report. I'm not sure why the UN did a report on this. But a United Nations report has just come out last Thursday, specifically saying that girls and women have lost out on nearly 900 medals at the expense of male athletes who identify as women. It says, with the backing of leftists, and most notably the Biden-Harris administration, again, if she wins, guess what happens? Males who identify as female have been permitted to compete in female sports, use women's and girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, supposedly in the name of equality. As a result, the UN report identifies trans-identifying males have taken 890 medals from female competitors. 890 medals. Additionally, across 29 different sports, 600-plus female athletes have lost to male competitors. Where does this end? I tell you where this ends. With our kids, this ends at the election. The left has felt so empowered, and this transmania that they have, it's almost like it feels faddish, and yet it's not. They're using it to literally debilitate and change lives. How do I know that it's all intentional? Daily Wire, October 20. All my stories came from October 23rd. That's crazy. Pro-trans doctor withholds taxpayer-funded study on child trans procedures over the unfavorable results. What does this mean? You've got a doctor named Johanna Olson Kennedy, who started a multi-million dollar study in 2015. She recruited nearly 100 children from across the country to participate. They were given puberty blockers. They had their voices deepened. They had their breasts removed. They had any number of things happen to these kids, and they were studied for 2 years to see if the treatments improved their mental health. Researchers found, ready, quote, puberty blockers did not lead to mental health improvements. She, though, however, came out and said, well, everything looks really good. They're all in really good shape after 2 years. However, her explanation of why the study did not produce the results she wanted is contradicted. She actually hid the results so that her study could continue. She claims now she's going to publish the data. Yeah, after she got caught. But she claims she can't right now, though, because the NIH has cut some of its funding. So, you know, by the way, this same woman, I posted a video on my social media. This same woman, I think Riley Gaines tweeted this and I retweeted that. But this same woman, Dr. Johanna Olson-Kennedy, I mean, I don't understand the hyphenated name. Pick one. Johanna Olson-Kennedy. I don't trust hyphenated people. I'm sorry. I realize there's probably some good hyphenated people out there. But I question you when you hyphenate. Just hyphenate. Don't hyphenate. Just don't do it. But anyway, Johanna Olson-Kennedy was giving a speech, and she literally was saying, and this is unreal. She was saying that you can remove the breasts from young ladies, and she was so cavalier and casual about it. You can remove the breasts from young girls. And if they decide they want breasts again, they can have them added back. What? What she was implying was, it's like a buffet. You can take that and put it on your plate and choose not to eat it. It'd be fine. It doesn't work like that. Transgender treatments are not an a la carte menu on life. You get to just pick and choose which one. We can do breast augmentations and add that back later. Great. Not really. Just an actual awful individual. But then you got one more, and I'll wrap it with this. We've got our own Attorney General Steve Marshall, and I love this. You talk about slapping back. You may have heard my interview with him last week. In fact, I think we're going to have to air part of it again tomorrow, right? But the Christian Post magazine cited his brief in a recent Supreme Court case as being one of the most prolific denouncements of the transgender medical industry. And he talks about specifically an organization called WPATH, the World Professional Association of Transgender Health, which is not even really all made up of medical providers. It's got activists on staff. But WPATH has amazing influence in the medical community. And WPATH have repeatedly done things that sacrifice the ability of children to live well, even to the extent of talking about why some people just may want to be eunuchs, and we can help them with that. I mean, it's like the most gross, heinous thing you've ever seen, and it was our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, who caught it all, called it out, and has now been cited for having done so on a national basis. Transmania, it's real, you guys. It's real, and we got to fight it. We got to fight it tooth and nail, which means next week we got to win. All right, we're going to take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. A couple of quick text messages, and I'm going to the phones. Jay from Legtown says, over my dead body, would DHR take my kids because of this DEI nonsense? Hear you, bro. John C. from Madison said, I had a semi-friend on Facebook. She was a PhD from MIT in psychology. We had an argument about trans people. She said kids as young as 3 years old can decide their own sex. She was adamant about sex changes for them. kids that young don't even know their own sex. I'm just be honest with you. They're still figuring out, you know, whether, you know, Barney or Bluey is real. I mean, it's just no. Got a bunch of brand new texters all at one time. Somebody brand new says first time texter. Just wonder what happened to Big Rig. Big Rig is we still talk to him occasionally, but Big Rig is working his own company, which he started on the side, and it grew so fast that you know, we just had to bless him and let him go do his thing because it was huge. But it also opened the door for JP, so we're glad of that. Paul from Harvest is brand spanking new. He says, we need to change the voting system for each state and federal elections. We need each country to have a county to have a vote so that rural counties have an equal vote to large cities. Long text, can't get to all of it, but Paul, I appreciate your spots. And he says, by the way, I was a Trump supporter before Trump supporting was cool. Good enough. Paul from Harvest, new in the text line. Also new in the text line. RT from Limestone County. RT, we're glad you're here. And he's got a text that I have to go back and read later on, but thank you for it. Oh, Yellow Dog Mike is in there.
I noticed that.
Yellow Dog Mike says, Phil, you're a North Korean-style propagandist for your dear leader. MSG was a Nazi rally. Okay.
I think he's trying to troll.
I think he's just trying hard.
He starts off every text with that, and it's like he's trying to get a reaction.
He's just like, it's kind of like lame. All right, let me go to the phones before I run out of time. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing a disservice to all yellow dogs anywhere they are, right?
That's right. Old Yeller, there it is. How you doing?
I've just been back on today until I got a flat tire, and I just kind of had to run it home and waiting for the tire shop to open tomorrow. So.
Oh, that's right. You're off today, aren't you?
Yeah, all week. Yeah.
Well, all week because the Biden economy took over, apparently. But nonetheless.
Yeah, apparently metal foundries aren't doing real well right now.
Well, I thought the economy was swimming. I thought everything was going great. I thought Bidenomics was kicking.
It's kicking, but I'm thinking it's going under. They're not treading water very well right now.
No, they're not. Did you watch any of the Trump rally last night?
No, I didn't get to see it yet, but...
Well, it's worth watching.
Probably here.
It's worth watching pieces of it.
I'll watch it on YouTube.
Absolutely. I mean,
but you talk about these transgenders,
yeah.
Though. That's what. Can these doctors lose their medical license for malpractice?
In some states, in Alabama, they can.
I mean, when you have a person who's mentally delusional about their sex and everything. How can they make an informed decision? You know, an informed decision when they're basically in delusion. You know, having a delusion. So, I don't see how these people can even make an informed medical decision.
No, and I look at it and think,
being young,
how do you remove body parts and call that healing? I mean, I understand it. Like, it's not like a mastectomy because you have cancer. This is someone saying. Well, obviously, you're biologically wrong, so we're going to biologically or medically correct you. And I look at it and think, if someone came in and said, I need you to remove my nose and both my ears, I would feel better that way. Would they do it?
Well, I don't know why not. I mean, if it might make you feel better, you know, it's as long as it don't kill you, I guess. You know, maybe if you want to, there's people out there, there's the... mental illness where people want to remove their hands and arms and legs and everything. Apparently, I guess some of them do it themselves. So.
There was a character in a movie, the movie Hellboy, the original Hellboy movie. And one of the bad guys in it was someone who had a mental disorder where he kept wanting to have surgical procedures done on his body and remove parts until he was no longer even himself anymore. And I'm thinking that sounds like what we're talking about.
Yeah, and he was the evil guy. He was basically one for Satan. He had his eyelids removed because they couldn't close his eyes. Yeah,
it was nuts. All right, man. Listen, the sound's about to go, saying that we're done. But I appreciate you. You enjoy your week off and get that flat tire fixed.
That's what I'm going to do, bud.
All right, we'll see you, man. John from Huntsville, by the way, checked in and said, JP and Phil both get a perfect A triple plus for their absolutely electrifying performances, so they are today's co-champions, and they get to share the imaginary first place golden microphone.
Put that up on my. I'll put that up on my shelf, my imaginary shelf at home.
That's your imaginary shelf. Nice. And then Brian S. from Huntsville says, "Yellow Dog ought to come up with some new material." I almost thought I was listening to a best of for a second there. It's just a replay, dude. It's like, wow. All right, you guys, I am not kidding when I say it. There are more of us than there are of them. And God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.